Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter for WGR, is with us live on WBEN this morning. Sal, we saw Bills dropping like flies, it seemed, yesterday in the heat down there at Hard Rock Stadium. What in the world was it like? You were on the sideline with them.
Yeah, it was tough. It was maybe the toughest heat conditions I've ever been involved in a as a sideline reporter in my 9 years. There's been hot games, but when you combine the heat with that humidity and that sun just beating on you the entire game, I think the on-field temperature was over 110 degrees, and you felt it. Anytime I could find a little bit of shade in between breaks, I would. But you had to stay hydrated for sure. And I mean, I commented on the radio yesterday, guys. I felt like I was at probably what the Roman Coliseum was like, just watching bodies fly down on the ground like all the time. Guys were going in to get IVs. It was crazy.
It was crazy. Even before the game started, Sal, you know, we knew we were entering this game with an injury list that was lengthy.
Yeah.
It included some really important players. And then you have what happened during the game. I mean, the Bills team at the end of the fourth quarter that we saw on the field, I'm sitting around watching the game, looking around who I'm watching with, like, who's that guy? Who's this guy? Who are these people?
Yeah, for sure. They were really depleted already with their injuries. And then they were losing guys during the game to injuries. So, look, I mean, fans don't want to hear any, it's not excuses. Like, I don't want to use that word at all myself. It's not an excuse, but it certainly, like, contributes to, I think, what happened yesterday. But that said, the Bills still dominated the Dolphins statistically. I think they were the better football team on the field. They just made critical mistakes. And you can't have those critical mistakes. Critical mistakes for the Buffalo Bills we don't usually see from them. And that's what doomed them in the end. I mean, you think about what they were playing with, how shorthanded they were in the secondary. At one point, they had a rookie, Kyer Elam, playing, a guy who's making his NFL debut playing, and Jamarcus Ingram on the other side of him. And then one second-year guy starting at safety making his first start, and another one in his fourth year who hardly ever plays on defense. And then on the offensive line, they were down to their third-string center, and they were using a guy in Tommy Doyle who's normally tackled to play guard. It was wild.
And then a worst fear, we heard that Josh Allen hurt his hand. What do you know about that?
He says he's okay. So, I mean, we'll see. But I think it affected him on that last throw, maybe to Isaiah McKenzie, you could tell. You know, Josh, he got checked out after the game, from what I understand, and he says he's okay. So we'll go from there. But yeah, there was a lot of different things going on, a lot of different guys going down. But, you know, hopefully Josh is okay going forward, and hopefully they can get a bunch of these guys back going forward.
You know, despite being so depleted, you mentioned those little mistakes. It seemed like there were just a few little moments that if they went slightly the other way, Sal, we could be talking about a different outcome. A couple of touchdown passes that weren't late in the game. How about the end of the first half? What was going on there? What was the reaction after the game to thinking, you know, one of these things just goes according to plan and we might be talking about 3-0 team?
Well, for sure. I mean, is what it is, right? Which is if one of those plays happens, just if Gabe Davis holds on to the ball, in the end zone, you know, and I know, I'm not saying he dropped it, but it was knocked out of his hand. If he can kind of complete the process of that catch, if Tyler Bass makes the field goal that he missed, if Josh Allen can get the ball to Isaiah McKenzie, if Isaiah McKenzie stays in bounds at the end of the game, I think the biggest play of the game was the 3rd and 22 they gave up. You know, that Jalen Waddle gets behind the secondary. That's just something we don't see with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer back there. And the Bills had two different safeties, and they did a really good job in those two receivers all game. But that's the one play. That's the killer. 3rd and 22, and they give that up, and that sets the Dolphins up for a touchdown. And at the end of the half, I don't know if people are aware of what exactly happened. The Bills were trying to spike the ball to stop the clock to give themselves a chance for a field goal. But it was a bad snap, or at least a botched snap, between the center exchange and Josh. So because Josh bobbled the snap, he tried to throw the ball away because he can't spike it in that situation. Then it becomes it's not a spike. I believe there's a different rule that comes into play, and I don't think he felt he had enough time anyway. And he said he didn't want to be called a fumble in that situation because of a botched snap. Anyway, it completely threw off what was happening. Stephon catches the ball because he doesn't know what's going on. The time runs out for both halves, guys. It's what's interesting. Both halves, the Bills had the clock literally run out on them when they were trying to kick a field goal to either take the lead or take the win.
That is rough. You mentioned those snaps, Sal. When Mitch Morse was out of the game last week in Tennessee, I feel like you were seeing it a little bit with just a kind of that messy handoff if Josh is under center. You saw it again, resulted in that play you were mentioning. Is that a problem without Mitch Morse? Or is that just maybe part of the value of Mitch Morse, having that go so smoothly and you don't really notice it that much? But it seems like when he's not in the game, that handoff is... could be a little dicey at times.
Well, he's the starting center, right? I mean, anytime you go to a backup, you're going to have a bit of a drop-off in some way, shape, or form. Now, let's say Greg Van Roten's played a lot of football. He's been in this league 9 years, I believe, right? And he does a good job. I think he's, generally, he's going to be doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, but he's not Mitch Morse. Mitch Morse is a starter and has a nice contract for a reason. And then, on top of that, they lost Greg Van Roten. He had to leave the game. Greg Manns came in. That's your third string center. And then the other part about this is, at the end of the game, when the Bills were down at the goal line, if you guys remember, they were trying to score, near the end of the game, before they got the safety and got the ball back, it's first down, second down, third down. They have the ball on fourth down at like the 1 yard line. Josh Allen never goes under center. Well, that's because you can't do that with your third-string center because he never practices it. Third-string center is never practicing center exchange snaps with the quarterback at practice. Somebody could say, well, why is that? Well, because there's just not enough time. You're trying to get everybody else ready for the game. And Mitch Morse was actually practicing most of the week getting ready for the game. So that's why Josh had to go in shotgun, which completely limited the playbook and the plays they could choose when they were down at the goal line. So that is just a confluence of events that added up to the loss.
How much of yesterday can you put on clock management and coaching?
Well, I don't think you can put much on it at all. I think it's execution. I can't find an instance that Sean McDermott specifically cost them yesterday. If somebody wants to point one out, maybe there could have been a different decision to go for a fourth down instead of kick the field goal that Tyler Bass ultimately missed, but I was fine with kicking the field goal. So, yeah, I can't find any instance. I went back and thought about it where I would say this was on coaching. This was on execution yesterday.
Part of that execution, Sal, I think a lot of fans for the first time, you go back the last couple of years, but we're finally now feeling confident in that late game situation. And when the Bills get the ball back after the butt punt safety, they have a minute and a half to get into field goal range. And I think everyone was feeling pretty confident about that, even with all the little missteps along the way that have happened so far in the game. Weren't able to make it happen in the end, though. Is that surprising to you? Even with the timeout situation and, even the last play with how that kind of ended up, but just the fact you had a minute and a half to get 40 or 50 yards.
Well, I think what we've seen from Josh Allen and how he can be Superman and what he's done gives you faith that when they get the ball back, he's going to go down and do it, right? He's going to go down. So I think from that point, it's kind of surprising. I have to remind everybody, though, Brian, all the time, the other team gets paid too, right? I mean, they are professionals. They're trying to stop you. And, the clock is running. You don't have a ton of time. And then on top of it, let you remember, one of the biggest plays of the game was the hold, where right before the final play, the Bills were like 3 yards away from field goal range. But there was a hold on the center or on I can't remember who the call, Tommy Doyle maybe it was. I can't remember. Questenberry, I think it was David Questenberry, gets hold. Called for a hold. The ball gets placed back 10 yards. That puts the ball 18 seconds left. Josh goes to Isaiah McKenzie. He tries to get out of bounds. He gets a little tripped up. He can't get out of bounds. So is it like something you thought that Josh Allen would be able to do? Of course. But, I mean, again, it's not easy to do, right? I mean, they still had to go 50 yards in that much time, and the other team is playing you, and they're trying to stop you. So it wasn't easy, that's for sure.
All right. We've learned that the investigation will go into Tua yesterday coming back so quickly, right, from when he took that hit just before halftime. I mean, it's not going to change anything from yesterday, but what could come of it?
It's really interesting. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what kind of investigation, what that looks like. But, yeah, it's really weird, Susan. Like, he stumbled, right? He was stumbling around. He falls down. They say he has a head injury. The team said he had a head injury. And then he comes back out, and then the team said, no, he had a back injury. So, I mean, I don't know what the situation is there. I know this. I think it's curious that they do play Thursday night, and if he did have a concussion, he would essentially already be out Thursday night. He wouldn't be able to be back in time. So I think that's got to be part of the thinking of, okay, so what's going on here, and why didn't he have a concussion when you originally said that he was being evaluated for a head injury, and then all of a sudden it became a back injury?
Well, it's an interesting game to look at, Sal, even if it didn't end up the way all the Bills fans wanted it to. Sal, thank you so much, and dry off, get rehydrated, just like the team. We're going to need you and everybody else this upcoming Sunday. Sal Capaccio was on the sidelines in the heat of Miami yesterday as the Bills drop one to the Dolphins 21-19.